Austin's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868 is the number. We are now joined by Walid Shubat, S-H-O-E-B-A-T. That's how you spell his last name. He converted to Christianity in 1993. His biography is utterly fascinating. He was born to a Jordanian Muslim father and an American mother. Mr. Shubat joined the Palestine Liberation Organization in his youth and, in fact, was involved in an attack against an Israeli bank. He knows Islamic terrorism from the inside out. He knows jihadism from the inside out. And he is now here to tell us his story and his perspective on what took place here in Boston last Monday. Mr. Shubat, thank you so much for coming on the Kuna Report.
You bet. Thank you for having me.
Mr. Shubat, just very quickly. So was your father a terrorist? What drove you or inspired you to initially become a Muslim terrorist?
No, my father wasn't a terrorist. He was taught Islamic studies in English language. What drives somebody to become a terrorist? You know, most Americans think that it's the education system in the school or it's the fanatic teaching in the school. It's also the mosque. You know, it's everything. It's from childhood. You know, you begin from childhood singing songs. Right in kindergarten, Arabs are beloved, Jews are dogs, and the racism is inculcated in your mind when you're young. And then, you know, you grow up. By the time you get to high school, then the idea of martyrdom comes to the class, and you have a teacher from Al-Azhar University, you know, telling us that by the first drop of the blood of the martyr, he enters paradise. So it's not just that, you know, we wanted to fight the enemy. It's also we wanted to die for the cause of Allah in order to enter paradise. So very rarely Americans talk about these things because it hits the issue of religion and Islam itself. But nevertheless, martyrdom is the process of dying by the spilling of your own blood in jihad warfare. So this is what they teach, and this is what is taught all throughout all Islamic schools about martyrdom and jihad.
How prevalent is it across the Muslim world?
Everywhere. I've never seen a teacher anywhere since I was in Israel and the Palestinian areas, and you know, you monitor these things. No one teaches jihad and martyrdom in a different way. You know, the martyr has a special elated place. Al-jannatu tahta dhilal as-suyuf, we say. Heaven is under the shadows of the swords. You know, the poetry, everything. There's nowhere they teach jihad is a self-struggle within. In fact, that simply doesn't exist. Jihad is the process of fighting an enemy. And it's not only in self-defense. We never called the occupation of Spain occupations. We call them liberation. So the job is to liberate the world. In fact, the Chechens were thinking they're doing you a favor by bombing you because they want to liberate you from kufr, from the unbelief, and to bring you into the light of Islam. Until Americans begin to tell the truth of how the thought process works, I don't think Americans are even ready to have a war on terror.
We are talking with Walid Shubat. He is a Christian convert from Islam. He, in fact, joined the Palestine Liberation Organization in his youth and engaged in certain terrorist activities. Mr. Shubat, I'm just curious, what do you make of the Saudi national that now was a person of interest, and apparently now we don't know what's happened to him? Do you believe the Saudi government had a role in getting him deported? What do you think the role of Saudi Arabia has been in the Boston Marathon bombings?
Well, when we look at the situation of Abdurrahman Ali Isa al-Salimi al-Harbi, you know, we can see, number one, there is a photo that looks very remarkably like him at the situation, at the bombing site. Okay, number two, you know, we have to look at 9/11. No one in the world can deny that right after 9/11, when planes weren't allowed to fly, Saudi nationals were flying. Now, this is something that no one can deny, not the government. You know, no one can deny President Bush met with Prince Bandar in closed-door session, exactly what we've seen President Obama visited by some diplomat and closed session, the same thing we've seen with Kerry, closed sessions, and all of a sudden, you know, Saudis who were suspect, and the first suspect, that's the official statement, by the police, by the FBI, the first suspect was Abdulrahman Ali Isa al-Harbi. So if he was the first suspect, I think the American people deserve an answer. No one can deny what I've found in the Arabic language. Now, if I looked at the Arabic media, forget the American media, nothing is being disclosed to the American media, but if I look at the Arabic media, the newspaper Uqaz, which is a prominent Saudi newspaper, stated before we knew who the culprits were, stated, and they named the names, and everything's disclosed there, that the United States of America, from the top official, government official, stated emphatically, no Saudi will be charged in the Boston bombing. Now, how could such a statement come out prior to even knowing the names of the culprits of who did it? What if they were Saudi? Okay. Also, Abdulrahman Ali Isa al-Salimi al-Harbi has got some very interesting family members. And I know Americans don't think that family relationships count. They do. If you look at the major terrorist who bombed us, who attacked us in 9/11, like the Ghamidi clan, the Ghamidi family, okay, volunteered two members who blew up the South Tower. Hit a plane with a South Tower and killed 3,000, participated in killing 3,000 Americans. And they say it on their website very clearly, we're proud to have given two of the Ghamidis. Okay, and you find the same thing with Khalid al-Dawsari, who attempted to bomb weapons of mass destruction and who attempted to kill President Bush. The same thing with their family, the same thing with the Saudi government. They all support it, and I have all the evidence to show this from the Arabic language. Now, al-Harbi has three major leaders in al-Qaeda. You have Muhammad Atiq Uwaid al-Awfi al-Harbi, the leader of al-Qaeda in Yemen, who was released from Guantanamo. So if the man was released from Guantanamo, he wasn't innocent, was he? The other one is Muhammad Salim al-Harbi, who was killed just last year in Syria. He was the leader of al-Qaeda in Syria, plus countless others. Okay, Khalid Salim al-Lahibi al-Harbi, Raed Abdullah Salim al-Tahiri al-Harbi, Abdullah Abdulrahman Muhammad al-Harbi. Should I go on and waste the whole program in giving a list of long names?
So, hold on, Mr. Shubat. So what you're basically saying is there are prominent members of the Saudi family who are members of al-Qaeda, and you can see them in countries around
family.
The world. The Al-Harbi family.
Yes.
And so you're saying that you think clearly there's been a Saudi connection or a Saudi angle that our government is trying to cover up or downplay.
Well, there's tremendous amount of evidence I show on regarding the Saudi angle regarding terrorists and criminals. I've written articles on this. You take a Turkey who was, forget terrorism even. This guy owned sex slave owner in the United States. The United States, flies special ambassadors to visit the king of Saudi Arabia to appease the king because we don't want to release him still yet. So the amount of information on the demands of the Saudi government and the Americans kowtowing to them regarding releasing terrorists and criminal thugs from Saudi Arabia is monumental. This is something that no one can refute. Okay.
We are talking with Waleed Shubat. Mr. Shubat, the lines are blazing. People want to talk to you. They want to ask you questions. Are you willing to take a few questions?
You bet.
Okay. Kevin, you're up first. Oh, hold on. We'll go first. Wait, Kevin, hold on. Comrade John, you're on with Mr. Shubat.
Mr. Shubat, welcome to the light. May God protect you and your family always. Listen, I don't care anymore why this happened. I want to know what's it going to take to stop it, and just how in bed is this administration and past administrations beyond this with the Saudi government?
Well, I mean, Americans ask, what does it take to stop terrorism? You know, the answer is so simple of how to stop, terrorism and the whole mess that we deal with. Until Americans begin to change their policies, the terrorists are going to be victorious always. Okay? All what Americans have to do is to say, look, we want to stop the influx of student visas from countries that harbor terrorism and produce terrorism. We today have between 70,000 and 100,000 Saudi students. That's immense. The number increased in the last 7 years to sevenfold under the Obama administration. Seven times more we have Saudi nationals. Okay? So stop the immigration. Stop the Islamic minority program, the IMMA, that the Saudi is very interested in doing. This has been
Mr. Shubat,
myself.
Sir, I don't mean to cut you off, sir. We're up against a hard break. Could you hold for another segment? Because a lot of people want to talk to you.
As long as you want.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Shubat. We are talking with Waleed Shubat. He was a former member of the Palestine Liberation Organization in his youth. He was a former terrorist. He converted to Christianity in 1993. He is one of the world's leading experts on terrorism, on jihadism, and on the Saudi government. We will have more if you want to talk to him. 617-266-6868. We'll continue this discussion right after this break. Welcome back to the Cooner Report. This is Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer. We are now on the line with Waleed Shubat. He is a former member of the Palestine Liberation Organization in his youth. He was involved, in fact, in a terrorist attack against an Israeli bank. He has converted to Christianity. He's a U.S. citizen. He did this in 1993. He is one of the leading experts on radical Islam, a courageous, outspoken critic of radical Islam and jihadism. Mr. Shubat, thank you so much for coming and staying on with us at the Cooner Report.
You bet. Thank you for having me.
The lines are jammed. A lot of people want to ask you questions. Let's go to them quickly. Kevin, you're up next. Go.
Hey, Jeff. Waleed, nice to have you. I just have a quick question about two things. One is I haven't heard the name of the book that he wrote, and I'd like to know what the name of that book is. But the other question I have for him is when did the conversion that happened from Islam to Christianity, how did that happen? And because I know that there obviously must be some great difficulty going back to Abraham and Isaac and Ishmael, how that changed for you. What was it that caused you to go to Christ?
Mr. Shubat, you've written several books, correct?
That's correct. My latest book is called The Case for Islamophobia, America's Final Warning. In fact, I issued a press release about a week before the Boston bombings warning about this kind of thing, and there was no takers. The media wasn't interested at all. It's the case for Islamophobia. Americans will learn for the first time what really goes on behind closed doors in the United States and as well globally, and how they speak, how they slickly speak in the English language, what you like to hear, and what the reality is from the Arabic language. I'm the first in the country to examine what is stated in the Arabic language. As far as my conversion from Islam to Christianity, it is the totally opposite conversion of President Obama from Islam to Christianity. No one can deny President Obama was Muslim, and his conversion is very murky. The conversion is a change of mind. You know, you read the Bible, you begin to realize that the elements in the Bible supersedes what's in the Quran, and the Bible teaches us truly how to have peace, and truly that our job as Christians and the purpose Christ came to earth was to fight evil, period. And so as a Christian, I fight evil. That is my job as a Christian. We have duties as Christians. So I became a Christian in 1993 when I wanted to convert my Catholic wife to Islam. And she challenged me, and she said, show me the corruptions in the Bible. There is no Muslim in the world that doesn't believe the Bible is corrupt and hates the Bible the way it stands. And so that challenge, you know, drove me to begin to search in the Bible, and that has been my crime ever since. After the Boston bombing attack, we seem to be the heroes. But as soon as things calm down, we become the enemy. We are attacked. I'm attacked by CNN. My whole biography has been denounced. My whole life story has been denounced. My whole personal story has been attacked. you know, and there is not a single shred of evidence. The CNN has against me. I've been in prison. They're a bit a terrorist. And there isn't a single report anyone on earth can bring from an official Israeli government that would deny my story. Yet CNN and others try to attack us. So as soon as things calm down, we are on the attack. We are being attacked. So we got to understand the nature of the beast here, that the liberal movement in America is not really naive about Islam radicalization and all these things. They're really in cahoots with the Islamists. You know, what do you think Oriental Studies in some universities teaching? Why do you think in 500 universities and colleges you have Muslim student unions? Americans want to think about the radicalization process. Well, what did it take? Who was radicalized at UC Davis, in which he bombed his fellow American soldiers in Camp Pennsylvania in Kuwait? You know, the radicalization process could take seconds, could take a speech at a Friday prayer. It is, you know, it is not a slow crockpot kind of cooking machine that makes somebody convert from a peace-loving Muslim to a radical Muslim. That's not how it works. When the brothers went to Chechnya, they were already radicalized before they left. In fact, this wasn't the first attack we had by Chechens. How about Solzhenitsyn Tolovik? You know, opened fire, killed more Americans in a mall than what happened in Boston. What radicalization process did he go through? He had a dream. It was over. He had a dream. He saw this vision, and he told his girlfriend he's about to carry out a terrorist attack. So what radicalization process did he go through? Answer, nothing, really. So, you know, Americans need to understand the process of da'wah first, Islamization. Usually the people who promote da'wah don't have anything on their record as far as, you know, flaming statements about jihad and martyrdom. They simply convert people to Islam. Then the rest is history. In fact, Faisal Abdul Rauf, the man behind the Ground Zero Mosque, met, I believe last year, with my first cousin, Ibrahim Awadallah Shu'ibat. He was the Mufti of Ramallah. And the plan was the Islamization of America, da'wah, they call it, the Islamization of America's. And my cousin Ibrahim, his two brothers are terrorists. He doesn't have a single statement you could find where he says jihad and martyrdom. Yet he walks in martyrdom processions. Would he dare never to walk in martyrdom processions and declare that jihad and martyrdom is not Islamic? They would have his head on a platter.
Okay,
wow. So the Americans need to understand that not every Muslim teacher will say go commit jihad and martyrdom, because every Islamist has his position, has his job in the process. And this is why you can't find statements on some Muslim cleric of jihad and martyrdom. You look at Anwar al-Awlaki, you look at Faisal Abdul Rauf, the man behind the Ground Zero Mosque. What is the difference between the two? Anwar al-Awlaki says, I will do it by an explosive act. Faisal Abdul Rauf says, I will do it through political activism.
Mike, Mr. Shaw, we got your point. I mean, you're on fire right now. We got a ton of people that want to talk to you. Mike, you're up next. Go.
Mr. Shubat, let me first say, I can't believe your courage, especially a guy in your position that the enemy against you, you know, would put you on a hit list. And I want to thank you for being a patriotic American, for your love of country, and for your love of your fellow Americans. Mr. Shubat, do you believe that America should be leery or vigilant on our southern border as regards to infiltration by jihad and al-Qaeda? Thank you very much for your courage.
Yes, sir. I mean, we should always be leery. I mean, number one, even with the border control, let's forget even the terrorist business. You know, an officer who's guarding our borders in Mexico is not looking for a redneck chewing and spitting tobacco. He's looking for Mexicans infiltrating the borders. He profiles right then and right there. I don't know a single officer who doesn't profile. We talk about profiling. We can't profile. So the problem is that we can't profile, and we can't, look at the features in the person to say maybe he's a terrorist or he's not. In fact, I gave a lesson one time to the Homeland Security when she was attacked by CNN. I said if they looked at the forehead of Muslims coming from the airports, we wouldn't have 3,000 Americans dead in 9/11 because all the terrorists had the prostration mark on their forehead and they were shaven. You know, right now, we need to look at the body of the Tsar Nayev, how he's being buried. If he's shrouded with white, that means his family doesn't believe he's a martyr. But if he's buried with his clothes, then they also believe he's a martyr and they support terrorism. So there's tons of markers that we can look at the border level, at the security level, at the social level, the mosques, if they're being funded by Wahhabi petrodollars, and all these things. Americans always ask me, how do we solve the problem? Really, it's very simple. Stop the immigration and stop giving student visas to countries that want to kill us. Period. That solves the problem. Number two, we need to stop importing Saudi oil. We need to plunge Saudi Arabia back to the Middle Ages, because let's not forget, who radicalized Chechnya? Was it not Al-Khattab of Saudi Arabia? Was it not Saudi petrodollars? No one can deny that. Why are we not asking who radicalized Chechnya instead of asking how did these kids get radicalized?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Howard, you're up next. You're on with Mr. Shubat.
Mr. Shubat, it's an honor. There's an email going viral that attributed to you by Americans at Clueless. Within that email, there's also a video clip of the treatment of Russian soldiers by Chechen Islamists. Could you speak about that?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the question. Russian soldiers what?
The treatment of Russian soldiers by Chechen terrorists.
Oh, yes. I mean, it would be racist for me to say that the Chechen Islamist is much more dangerous than any other Islamist. It's not. It's true. They have an amazing ability physically, and they're easy brainwashed. In fact, we showed a video clip just for Americans to begin to understand the Chechen fighter. You know, they captured a village that was controlled by Russians, took the prisoners, and decapitated them in the video. And if every American sees the video, they'll begin to understand what we're talking about. I mean, you have men drowning in their blood, can barely breathe because their throat is slit halfway. They, you know, slice their necks like sheep. I mean, literally. We have tons of videos to show what Chechens do. as soon as they capture any victim, they will behead them on the spot. They have a knife and they behead you on the spot. You know, the Chechen terrorist wanted to put the greatest amount of fear amongst Americans in the Boston bombing. And the same thing with Solzhenitsyn Tolovik in that mall incident. So Chechen fighters have been recruited for many, many years, but with Saudi petrodollars. And they are extremely dangerous. You're talking about two Rambos here. You know, it was not easy to catch them, if you notice. They killed an officer. They're very well trained and very determined. Imagine, you watch Rambo the movie. Now we have Rambo the reality, except Rambo is a bad guy, and he wants the blood of Americans. They're willing to die, they're willing to fight, and in fact, the way the Muslim world views the Boston bombing, the Islamist world, they view it as a victory. Here's two Rambos basically terrorized the entire country. We had to send thousands and thousands to come and get them. There'll be heroic stories written and circulating the Muslim web.
We have been talking with Walid Shubat. Mr. Shubat, we got to let you go. Can you give us your latest book and the website that people can go to?
The latest book is The Case for Islamophobia, America's Final Warning, Jihad by the Word. It's in Shubat.com, or people can get it at Amazon. Shoebat.com, just as you spell the word shoe and the word bat. It's that simple. Shubat.com.
Wonderful. Mr. Shubat, you have been great. Thank you so much, sir, for your patriotism and your courage and your brilliant analysis. Thank you so much
for coming
on the Kuna Report. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. 617-266-6868 is the number. Well, I mean, you heard it from one of the world's leading experts on jihadism and radical Islam. This is not an anomaly, my friends. 617-266-6868. More of your calls next on the Kuna Report.